Hi everyone, I'm Rebecca Winter. Can everybody hear me? I hope everybody can hear me. Thank you so much for signing in to this online class. This online class is actually going to be a series of different classes, and they're going to be basically focusing on parallel characters throughout the Tanakh, who we may have not thought were initially necessarily parallel characters. Now, before we start anything, I just want to firstly say hello again. I'm Rebecca. Oh, apparently there's a delay between my video and my voice. Hang on 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. So before I get started, I'd just like to point out that I think everybody has the source sheets in front of them. And if you have the source sheet and you're interested in downloading it onto your computer, then you can do so just by clicking on this icon at the top left-hand corner. It should say download PDF files. So you should be able to do that. That should be no problem. The other thing is that if you have any questions or any comments throughout this year, then you should just feel free to type them into the chat, and that should be fine. Okay, so you can just do that by clicking into the chat history and into the chat room and just typing whatever questions you want, and I'll try to either attend to them during this year or after this year, whichever one. It doesn't really make a difference. We'll see how it goes, basically. So I've never used one of these before, but I'm very excited about it. So why don't we just get started right away and talk about our first two characters who we're going to compare today, who are Moshe and Bilam. And I know on the presenter sheet it didn't say Moshe and Bilam would be first, but I'm going to be doing Moshe and Bilam first, so I'm just sorry in advance. So basically, Moshe and Bilam, I think, are an interesting pair of characters that come together, and I think a lot of people have heard about the comparison between Moshe and Bilam, and this famous comparison actually comes from the Sifrei in Dvarim on Parshat Vezera Bracha. So if everyone could just turn to source one, right over here, you'll see I have it for you in English. And it's actually talking about the one of the last psukim in Sefer Dvarim, in the whole Torah. And in Hebrew, the verse is, Lo kam od navi b'Yisrael k'moshe, asher yeda'o Hashem panim el panim. So never again has there arisen in Israel a prophet like Moshe, whom God has known face to face. And the Sifrei immediately comments on this pasuk, and the Sifrei on Parsha Vezad HaBracha says that it's true that there was no one in Israel like Moshe. We had no other prophets like Moshe who knew Hashem face to face. But the rest of the nations, meaning the Goyim, the outside nations, did have a prophet who was equal to Moshe, and that was Bilam ben Beor. And the Sifrei actually goes on and talks about the differences, some of the differences between Bilam ben Beor and Moshe, even perhaps to explain that Bilam ben Beor may have been perhaps greater than Moshe. And we can read that in the English in source one. I'll continue. However, there's a difference between the prophecy of Moshe and the prophecy of Bilam. Moshe, Moshe did not know what was being spoken to him, but Bilam did. Moshe would not know when God would speak to him until it happened, but Bilam would. And Moshe would only speak with God while standing, but Bilam would while even lying down. Meaning that it seems, according to the Sifrei, that not only was Moshe, were Moshe and Bilam kind of on an equal footing in terms of their level of relationship with God, but that it's possible that in some ways Bilam was even on a higher level than Moshe. Now, many, many Parshanim have a huge problem with this, obviously, because how can Moshe Rabbeinu be on a lower level or have less of a relationship with God than Bilam ben Beor? In fact, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim points out that while the Sifrei seems to put Bilam on a higher level than Moshe, having a stronger relationship with God, really we have to read the Sifrei as saying that really Moshe was on a higher level. For example, we would read the last verse instead of saying that Moshe would only speak with God while standing, but Bilam would while even lying down. We would read it as Moshe would speak with God while standing, but Bilam would have to speak with God while lying down because he was so kind of overcome with the prophecy that God was giving him that he would have to be lying down. Meaning that it is possible, according to the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim, that really Moshe was on a higher level than Bilam. In fact, Ibn Ezra is so troubled by this comparison that he says that no, there's really no comparison between Moshe and Bilam at all. And really, Bilam did have this important connection with God, but he wasn't really a Navi. He wasn't really a Navi at all. And so really, lots and lots of Parshanim kind of grapple with the Sifrei, and they really are bothered by the fact that the Sifrei would even put Moshe and Bilam on this level. And if we really think about the comparisons between Moshe and Bilam, just kind of face value, I would say that just by looking at the two characters, the one similarity that seems obvious between them is that they were both great prophets who both had this great relationship with God. But aside from that, they seem to be very, very different characters. While Moshe's primary role was to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Bilam, the role that Bilam plays primarily is to curse Bnei Yisrael, and we know that ultimately he ends up blessing Bnei Yisrael because Hashem doesn't want him to curse Bnei Yisrael, but it really seems that Moshe and Bilam have very, very different roles in the Torah. But I think despite the differences in their roles, there is a very interesting and important parallel that the Sifrei is really drawing upon, that really Moshe and Bilam kind of had this, shared something very important, shared a very important characteristic. And I think that it's important to kind of delve into this parallel, the parallels that we see between Moshe and Bilam, so we could really understand something about the two characters and why the Sifrei decides to kind of make a parallel between these two characters. So if everybody can just turn to source 4. Sorry, I know everybody kind of is able to maneuver this sheet. So if everyone could just turn to source 4, thank you for whoever's doing this. Then I brought you a Rashbam on Bereishit in Perek Lamed Bet. And it's a very, very fascinating Rashbam. The Rashbam is actually talking about the time when Yaakov Avinu was struggling with the Malach, but we're not going to get into this story right now. But the Rashbam is just commenting on this struggle that Yaakov has with the Malach, and he talks about different times where God gets angry at somebody. And he brings different people in the Tanakh that he sees where God gets angry at someone, and then there's a consequence that follows. And I have highlighted for you the two characters that we're most interested in. Okay, so why don't we first read from the highlighting. With regard to Moshe, it is written, send whoever you send, just not me, and God waxed angry with Moses. So the Rashbam is picking out an interesting story, which is the story with Moshe in the Snebo Erba'esh, where Hashem is talking to Moshe and trying to convince Moshe to go to Paro and to be the leader of Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe says, Shlach na biyati shlach, please God, send somebody else. And then it says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, and Hashem gets angry at Moshe. And then the Rashbam continues and says, I just skipped the bracketed part, and I went on to the next highlighted part, that the plain meaning is that he was reluctant to go and on his way to the lodging place. And so the Rashbam says that Hashem was very upset. Why was he angry at Moshe? What was he really angry about? Hashem was angry at Moshe's reluctance to go to lead Bnei Yisrael. And he points to an interesting story, which we'll talk about in a second. And he says, and therefore Hashem gets angry, Vayihi Baderach Bamalon, and on the way to the lodging place. And that's why a very interesting story happens. And thus, he met him and he sought to kill him. So it was with Jonah, swallowed into the belly of the fish, and thus with Bilam, and so too the Rashbam also brings in Bilam, he says, and the Lord waxed angry that he went. And Hashem was very angry at Bilam also because he decided to go on this mission. Now, the Rashbam brings up something very interesting, an interesting parallel between Moshe and Bilam that I wouldn't have necessarily thought. Yes, they are both Nevi'im, but both of them also have a scenario where they're both going on their way. They both have this mission to do something, and they do something, and Hashem gets angry at them, both of them really for opposite reasons. It seems, according to the Rashbam, that Hashem is angry at Moshe because he was reluctant to go to Paro. And it seems that with Bilam, Hashem was angry at Bilam that he went because he was going on his mission in the first place. And there seems to be this interesting parallel that the Rashbam draws. Now, before I kind of talk a little bit more about the parallels that the Rashbam brings, because I was a little bit cryptic in that, I just want to turn a little bit to the story that the Rashbam is talking about with Moshe Rabbeinu. And I just want to give a little bit of background to what the Rashbam is saying about why Hashem is getting angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. So basically the story is that Moshe was at the Snebo Erba Esh, Moshe was at the burning bush, and Hashem is trying to tell Moshe that he has to go to, that he has to go to lead the Jewish people. He has to go and talk to Paro. And Moshe keeps saying, for many different reasons, no, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go. And if everybody could just turn to the second source, I believe it is. Here, I'm just moving the page up. Okay? And if everyone could just turn to Pasuk Yud, the 10th Pasuk in the second source, which is the source of the Snebo Erba Esh, of the burning bush. And it says, and Moses said to the Lord, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Biazoni, lo ish dvarim anochi, gam itzmol, gam ishilsham, gam me'az dibarta el avadecha, ki kfad pe ukfad lashan anochi. Says Moshe, I really can't go, God, I really can't go, please stop trying to convince me to go lead the Jewish people, because I have a speech impediment. I am slow of speech and I am slow of tongue. And Hashem gets angry at him and he says, who do you think is the one who makes people talk? Who do you think is the one who puts words into people's mouths? And then finally Moshe says, please God, send somebody else. And then we have our Pasuk and Pasuk Yud Daled, and Vayichar af Hashem v'Moshe, and Hashem gets angry at Moshe. And the Rashbam jumps on this, and he says that Hashem was angry at Moshe because Moshe was being slow to go to Paro. And therefore, we see much later on, Hashem punishes Moshe. How? Everybody goes down to Pasuk Kaf Dalet, Hashem punishes Moshe with this interesting scene, Vayihi Baderach Bamalam. Hashem punishes Moshe by trying to basically kill him in this interesting scene of Vayihi Baderach Bamalam. And I want everybody just to turn to this scene, as according to the Rashbam, this is the reason that Hashem is getting angry at Moshe. And I just want to quickly read this story and explain how it's such an interesting parallel to the story that we're going to discuss in the second with Bilam. So I'm going to read it to you. And this, according to the Rashbam, is why why Hashem is angry at Moshe. Pasuk Kafdalet. Vayihi baderach bamalon. And it was, they came and they were in a lodging place. And Hashem meets him and he asks to kill him. And Tzipporah, suddenly, Moshe's wife, realizes what's going on. She takes this flint, she takes this sword. She does a brit milah on her son, and she says, because you are a bridegroom of blood to me. Vayirach mimenu, and then Hashem decides to leave Moshe alone. Az amra chatan zamim lamulot. And so she says, you are a bridegroom of blood in regards with the circumcision. This is a very strange and cryptic story. We have almost all pronouns except for Tzipporah, who we see coming into the story. But without getting into it too much, because really this is a story about Moshe and Bilam, the basic idea is that Hashem meets Moshe, his sons, and his wife, Tzipporah, as they're on the way to Mitzrayim. Hashem is obviously angry, as according to the Rashbam, Hashem was angry because Moshe says, I can't go and I don't want to go because I have this speech impediment. And therefore, Hashem wants to kill him. And Tzipporah knows what to do suddenly. She takes this rock, she does a circumcision, she touches it to his legs, not sure whose legs they are, and suddenly Hashem's anger is abated, and suddenly Hashem is not angry anymore. And there are many questions about this, but we're mainly going to talk about what the relationship is between this story and how Hashem's anger is abated, how Hashem is not angry anymore after Tzipora does this Brit Milah, and why that fixes everything. And in order to really understand why Hashem's anger is abated, we really have to look at this parallel between this story that we see over here, Vayihi Baderach Bamalon, how Moshe and Tzipora and their sons are going to Egypt and what happens, and the parallels between the Bilam story, where Bilam too is on his way to a mission to curse Bnei Israel, and he has something interesting that happens to him. And although the Rashban does not point out this parallel, both Rav Blau and Rav Klitzner point out this very, very interesting parallel between Moshe and Bilam in this regard. Basically, I'm just going to go through the story of Bilam quickly, and then I'm going to show you the different parallels that we have between what happens to Moshe on the way to his mission, basically, to save Bnei Israel, and what happens to Bilam on the way to his mission, which is to curse Bnei Israel. And basically, the Bilam story is also very interesting. Bilam, as we may or may know, is a prophet who comes from Midian. He is asked by Balak, the king of Moab, to go and curse Bnei Israel because Balak is afraid that Bnei Israel are going to destroy all of Moab. So basically, Balak hires Bilam to curse Bnei Israel, and on his way to cursing Bnei Israel, Bilam is on his donkey, and he encounters this malach, this angel who's in his way, who wants to kill him. Bilam does not see the angel, but the donkey does see the angel, and the donkey then starts to talk to Bilam. Bilam continuously hits the donkey with his stick, and then the donkey pushes Bilam up against one of the side rails because they're on a very, very narrow path. So he pushes Bilam up against the fence. And in the end of the story, though, Bilam essentially continues to go on his way and tries to curse Bnei Israel. And although these two stories, the story of Moshe in the Malon, Moshe in the lodging place, which with Tzipora, and Bilam with his donkey, seem very, very different from each other, really both of them are serving a very similar purpose. In terms of Bilam's story, Bilam is on his way to cursing Bnei Israel. Hashem is mad at him because he's going to curse Bnei Israel, and therefore sends this malach who wants to kill Bilam. And so too, according to the Rashbam, as he reads it, we have Moshe, who is on his way to, Hashem is sending to lead Bnei Israel, take them out of Mitzrayim, and he's going too slowly, and therefore Hashem punishes him, and he's angry at Moshe, and he gives him this Malon scene. So both of these two scenes that we're talking about are really turning points. So I'd like to just go through some of the similarities. If everybody could just turn to the chart that you see at the very, very bottom, we'll see that there are many similarities between these two stories, which are essentially really should serve as turning points for our two Nevi'im. Okay, so we see that in the Bilam story, of course, they're Ziknei Moab, and we also have Ziknei Midian. And we also know that Moshe, in his story, is coming from Midian and on his way to Mitzrayim. The people who are with Bilam have Ksamim Biadam, they have magic in their hands, and Moshe has his staff through which he's going to do certain signs and certain magic, Asher Ta'aseh Bo Et Ha'otot. Okay? The other thing is that it's very interesting that Kikaber Achavdecha Me'od, meaning Balak says to Bilam that what I'm going to give you, I'm going to literally make you heavy with gold and silver, I'm going to give you lots of pride and lots of honor if you go ahead and curse Bnei Israel. If you go and curse Bnei Israel. And Moshe says to Hashem, with a similar lashon, Why do I not want to go and save Neisrael? Ki kvad peh ukvad lashon anochi. Because I have a speech impediment, but literally I am heavy of tongue. And it's my heavy tongue that's holding me back, heavy tongue that's holding Moshe back from going to lead Neisrael. Whereas for Bilam, it seems that what's going pushing him forward to curse Bnei Israel is kabera chabdecha, is that Balak is going to make him so famous and full of so many riches, he's going to make him heavy. And that lashon of kaved is used in both. We also have in both stories the use of the aton and the chamor, meaning the use of a donkey. In the Bilam story, we have vayachvoshet atona. And in the Moshe story, we have Vayarkiven al hachamor. Okay, so we both have these donkeys. And it, of course, in both stories, in the Bilam story, we have Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. We have Hashem being angry because Bilam is going. Vayityatzev malach Hashem baderech. And therefore, Hashem puts this malach Hashem in Bilam's way. And in the Moshe story, we have Vayichar af Hashem Moshe, that Moshe gets upset. That Hashem gets upset at Moshe, and therefore later on, vayhi baderach bamalon, vayifkashehu Hashem, vayivakesh hamita. And therefore later on, Hashem meets him at his lodging place, and he wants to kill him. Again, this parallel. Just a couple more parallels. We have the Bilam, who was in a very, very narrow place when the Malach encounters him with the sword. And it says, vayamod b'makom tsar, and he's in a very, very narrow place. And again, with in the Moshe story, we have Tzipora, who takes the tzor, the same letters, who takes this rock, and vatichrodet or lapna, and she circumcises her son, vathagar l'raglav, and she touches Moshe's leg with this orla. And at the same time, we also have In the Bilam story, we have the donkey who pushes Bilam up against the wall, onto the wall, batilachat regel Bilam el hakir. So Bilam's leg is pushed up against the wall. The other interesting thing is that in the Bilam story, we have this outside figure of Balak ben Tzipor, Balak the son of Tzipor, literally the son of a bird. Whereas in the Moshe story, we have this outside character of Tzipora, also the same Lashon as Tzipor, also the bird. And of course, in both stories, both Bilam and Moshe have this Makel, and Moshe has this Mateh. So we see there are many, many similarities between the two stories. The important similarities really to talk about are that in both stories, that both stories seem very parallel to each other and seem very similar, but Bilam and Moshe kind of are, Hashem gets angry at Bilam and Moshe for really, really very opposite reasons. We see really in our Kabera Chabdecha parallel that what's pushing Bilam forward is this haughtiness, is this need to be the best Navi, is this need to be this great person, ki kabera chabdecha, with this promise that Balak gives him of kibud, of honor. Whereas what's holding Moshe back at the same time is this extreme humbleness. Ki kvad peh ukvad lashon anochi, I can't do it, God, because I have this speech impediment, because literally I am heavy of tongue and heavy of speech and hard of speech. And so what seems to really fix the two of them, or what the lesson that Hashem is really trying to teach the two of them, is again parallel but opposite. For Bilam, we have the donkey, this kind of outside creature, who pushes Bilam up against the wall, literally stopping him from going anywhere, pushing his leg up against the wall. Whereas for Tzipora, she takes the orla of her son, she takes this circumcised portion of her son, and she puts it on Moshe's leg, almost pushing him ahead, pushing him on his journey. There's actually a very interesting parallel that we see between the orla of Tzipora's son, the orlat bna, and the idea that Moshe is nervous about his speech impediment. We see here that Moshe calls himself a kvad peh kvad lashon, that he's heavy of speech and heavy of tongue. But we see a little bit later on in source 6 that actually Moshe uses a different lashon later on in Sefer Shemot to call himself, to talk about his speech impediment. He says, Hen anochi arel svataim, I am uncircumcised of lips. And we can understand why this Brit Milah really pushes Moshe ahead. What Tzipora is ultimately saying to him is that even though you think that you are an arel svataim, it is with this imperfection, it is with this arel, this orla of your son, that I am going to push your leg and that I'm going to touch your leg and literally push you forward to go and do Hashem's bidding. And I think what both Moshe and Bilam were lacking is that even though we see Bilam, who was excessively haughty, and Moshe, who was maybe excessively humble, what both of them are lacking is this insight that really it is God who decides what we can or cannot do. It is God who gives us our power, and it is God who gives us our characteristics. And God has decided that Bilam, that since God decided that Bilam cannot curse Bnei Israel, he decides to put different words into Bilam's mouth, and he even tries to show him that by putting words into his donkey's mouth to show him that really anybody could talk. And same goes for Moshe, that it is God who decides whether or not Moshe could be a leader or whether he can't be a leader, even though he is kfad peh, kfad lashon. And both Moshe and Bilam do not understand and don't realize at the time that really it's up to God and that their own weaknesses or that their own strengths are really given through Hashem and through God alone. And the question is, if these two scenarios, these parallel scenarios between Moshe and Bilam really change our characters at all. Does Moshe really change? Does he really understand and accept the fact that Hashem has made him a kfad peh, kfad lashon, and despite this he can lead Bnei Israel? And does Bilam understand that his haughtiness is what's pushing him forward and he should kind of take a step down? And I think that really this is a very important difference between Moshe and Bilam. That while Bilam has this important scenario happen to him, and the donkey literally tries to hold him back, Bilam continues and goes ahead and does try to curse Bnei Israel, and ultimately Hashem has to step in again and put different words into Bilam's mouth. Moshe, on the other hand, seems to learn his lesson, and he does go ahead and lead Bnei Israel. The bothersome thing is, though, that we see that in source 6 that I showed you, still Moshe still calls himself an arel svataim, and it's something that he keeps complaining about throughout his leadership. And we also know that Moshe was anav me'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adam, that Moshe was one of the most humble people from anybody on this earth. And this could really be a problem, as we see, that really this excessive humbleness could really have held Moshe back. I think, though, in order to understand that Moshe really did change, we have to examine the words carefully that Moshe uses later on in Perek Vav, after the scenario between himself, Moshe, and God. And what Moshe says is, Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem, hen ani arel svataim, ve'ech hishma elai para. Moshe says to God, how can you send me? I am uncircumcised of lips. How will Paro listen to me? What's interesting about what Moshe says here is that he's no longer using the words kfad peh ukfad lashon. This time he's using the words hen ani arel svataim. I am uncircumcised of lips. It's possible that what Moshe is saying here is that it's true that I know I have this speech impediment. I know I am kfad peh ukfad lashon and it's something that can hold me back. But I recognize that, and instead I'm using a new word to describe my impediment. I am an arel svataim, uncircumcised of lips. This doesn't necessarily have to hold me back. Rather, it's something that I can try to overcome throughout my life and try to change. I am uncircumcised. Uncircumcised means I can be circumcised, meaning that there is a possibility for change. And we see that even though Moshe has this struggle throughout his life, he still is able to continue and be the leader of Bnei Israel. And I think that what we can really learn from Moshe and Bilam is not necessarily that we have to completely change ourselves or completely change our personalities, but rather to recognize the flaws that we have within ourselves, Recognize them, recognize that there is always room to change, and just that recognition alone can really help us move forward and can really help us be the better versions of ourselves. So I know that was a little bit short, only half an hour, but thank you so, so much for listening to this share, my comparison between Masha and Bilam, the parallels between them. I hope you enjoyed, and if you have any questions at all, you can feel free to type them in or whatever you might like. Thank you so much. Oh, so, sorry, I could talk, actually. That's an interesting question. What you're saying basically is that why doesn't Hashem actually heal Moshe? And actually, the Malbim and even Ezra both point out, that Hashem intentionally did choose Moshe, who has this speech impediment, lest we say that, oh, the reason we were able to come out of Mitzrayim because we had this amazing charismatic leader who was able to speak to Paro and who was able to convince Paro that we should leave Mitzrayim. Instead, Hashem chooses this leader who has this impediment so that we can kind of show that we're relying on Hashem. Kind of saying this is like less is more. Really, that this impediment is maybe one of the reasons that Hashem did choose Moshe to be their leader, according to the Malbim and Ibn Ezra. You can take it or leave it. Any other questions, comments, whatever? What does it actually mean? That's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sure what you mean. Can you just clarify that? Oops. Oh, can I raise another parallel between Masha's speech impediment with Bilan's seemingly semi-blindness? Satum ha'ayin. There are definitely more parallels. Do you want me to just to specifically talk about the speech impediment versus the Satum ha'ayin versus Bilam's blindness, or just more parallels between the two stories in general? Okay, well, I can talk about more parallels between the stories in general, and then if that's not satisfying, you can let me know. It's interesting, actually, that, there are a couple more parallels that I didn't actually bring up. It's interesting, actually, that both we see that Bilam starts on his journey with his two Ne'arim, and we also see that Moshe starts on his journey with his two sons accompanying him. So that's very interesting. We also see that that both in the stories of Bilam and in the stories of Moshe, they both have to have this kind of outside character to show them that what they're doing is wrong. So in the Bilam story, outside character who becomes kind of a vessel of Hashem. And the outside character in the Bilam story is clearly the donkey, whereas the outside character in the Moshe story is clearly Tzipora. Two characters who we might think are kind of unknowing or who kind of don't have any relationship, who wouldn't have necessarily any insight into the story. Both of them are kind of brought to light as characters who are vessels of Hashem to teach our primary characters a lesson. But I think you want something deeper. I'm not touching on it. I'm not sure. Let me know. I don't know. I mean, it is really interesting that there are so many parallels between the stories. And I think it's interesting, and I think it's very likely that the Parshanim picked up on these similarities, especially the Sifrei, and he points out that there is this similarity between Moshe and Bilam. It could be that really that we see Bilam as a character shedding so much light on, shedding an interesting perspective on Moshe, kind of that there's such parallels but totally opposite. But I'm not sure if I can come up with anything deeper than that. I'm really not sure. I don't know what that means. Ah, yes, the Bilam story is often paired to Akedah Yitzchak, especially Bilam with Abraham, making the different mizdachot. That's very, very true. I think, though, that this story kind of as a character, Bilam as a character is, I think it's a more interesting and relevant comparison to kind of compare Bilam to Moshe as a character than maybe Bilam to Abraham, although I see kind of the thematic comparisons, I guess you can say between the often compared story of Bilam and the compared story of Bilam to the Akedah. Yeah, it's true. That is very interesting. Maybe. It's possible. I think it's interesting for everyone to think about it. And if you come up with anything by yourself, then please feel free to contact me and let me know what you come up with. I would love to elaborate more. But I hope you thought that this was an interesting comparison. Thank you all very, very much. You can email me. Let me write down my email address. It's no problem. No problem at all. Feel free. Ah, that's a very interesting point. Not only that, when you point out kind of that both of them are female, that's very interesting. We also have kind of this play on the female and male roles in both the Bilam and Moshe stories. We see that while Bilam has an atan, Moshe has the chamor, right? So we have the female on the Bilam side and the male on the Moshe side. But then later on, when we have the two kind of bird characters, we have Balak ben Zippor and Zipporah, we see that it flips, where Balak is the male on Bilam's side and Zipporah is the female on Moshe's side. It is interesting that that both of the protagonists, kind of, as you call them, Zipporah and the Atan, are both female. I think that, I mean, we can talk about that in a kind of more medieval, sexist way, that kind of both the people who are both the characters that are kind of viewed as vessels of God, or the people who we would definitely not think had any idea of what was going on or have any clue, any insight into our characters, Bilam and Moshe, both happen to be females, which kind of strengthens the fact that God was only using them as vessels and that they didn't have their own insight. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but it is possible that it could be read that way, because Zipporah didn't necessarily have a specific connection to Hashem. I think that's not a very good thing to say, though. I think that it is interesting, and you're definitely touching on an interesting male-female kind of counterbalance that we see between the stories. Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much. Thank you all. Feel free to, I'll be here, but you can feel free to go or whatever you'd like.